health is a crown worn by the healthy that only the ill can see. Your health really is your wealth. Join us for the next hour as we explore disease and attaining and maintaining good health. This is Dis-Chem Medical Monday, brought to you by Dis-Chem. Better health starts here.
Good morning. You're listening to 101.9 High FM. My name is Nicholas Ingle, and you have joined us for the Dis-Chem Medical Monday. In studio, we have our guest, David Kahn. Six times comrades runner, huh?
Good morning.
Good morning. And he's the dispensary manager at Dis-Chem Linksfield. So we're going to be chatting all things asthma. Asthma and allergies, the medication, lifestyle choices, natural remedies, and we'll be running through the hour. We're going to start off with discussing the medication that's commonly used to combat asthma and allergies, following that up with the relationship between asthma and allergy medication, and then through to asthma medication. Can people get addicted to it? Are people getting addicted to asthma pumps? I'm going to like to have a chat with David about the use of asthma medication, the cortisone meds, in terms of sport and illegal doping in sport for enhanced sports performance. And we'll have closing statements then at the end of the hour from David. We want to hear from you. Have you suffered from asthma? How are you dealing with it? Have you seen an increase in asthma rates in your community, amongst your friends and family, given the rise in vaping, given the rise in the poor air quality? So let us know in studio, 34519, telegram 061-895-1019. You can get us on Twitter at High FM, email onair@highfm.com, and call into the studio on 01-0140-3020. David, a big welcome. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you as well, Nicholas. Great to be here.
Thank you. And we had a pretty fascinating chat a little bit earlier, and we can go into that now. But what are the commonly used medications to combat asthma?
Asthma is treated with a number of drugs. Firstly, your first line drugs would be your bronchodilators. So typically your Astavent, it used to be Ventolin. If the bronchodilators are not working, then the physicians start adding the steroid drugs to that, your various cortisones. And they are normally in the form of long-acting bronchodilator with cortisone.
Right. Let's go back. Let's chat about what is asthma. What are the symptoms, the side effects? What are the challenges? Okay.
Asthma and allergy go hand in hand. Mm-hmm. Because of our air quality, because of smoking, because of then other environmental aggravators such as house dust mites, people develop allergies. And an allergic reaction is when your body releases histamine for the wrong purpose.
Right.
And it can manifest in hives, in rashes, skin allergies, congestion in the sinuses, runny, red and itchy eyes. When it comes to the respiratory system, it can result in asthma, which can become a chronic condition where your bronchi thicken. The airways go into constriction, but in long-term untreated response to it, the thickening exacerbates and worsens the asthma.
Right.
So it's critically important if a person is diagnosed with asthma that they need to be on long-term therapy, because that does reverse that harmful thickening of the airways and improve the overall quality of life of the patient.
Right.
People would start out using, say, a short-term bronchodilator, and then suddenly they would realize that they're needing more and more of it, and you'll see over-the-counter sales, repeat sales.
Right. Okay. Let's go to an ad break, and we'll continue with that when we're back.
This is Medical Monday, brought to you with the compliments of Dis-Chem. Better health starts here.
And you're listening to 101.9 High FM. It's Dis-Chem Medical Monday, and I'm sitting in for Kathy. My name is Nicholas Ingle. In studio, we have David Kahn, dispensary manager at Dis-Chem Linksfield. We're chatting asthma. Let us have your thoughts and questions on SMS 34519, Telegram 0618951019 at High FM on Twitter. Email is onair@highfm.com, and you can call into the studio on 01 01 40 30 20. David, we were chatting about some of the symptoms of asthma and some of the medical treatment.
Yes, and I was saying that people can develop an almost dependence to the short-acting bronchodilators, and then they land up at the doctor because their heart rate is racing. Once you start overdosing on those drugs, it stimulates the heart. And they get put onto a corticosteroid spray or a combination spray. And within two or three doses of that steroid, their requirement for the bronchodilator less than halves.
Wow.
More than halves, sorry.
Okay.
Yeah. It has a phenomenal effect. So then they suddenly realize that they need that, and that's when the real treatment kicks in.
Right.
And quality of life improves. Asthma can also be stimulated by exercise. The causes aren't really well known. It's more theories about sudden increased respiratory cycle. Because of that, you're potentially breathing in more allergens. The air is either dry or cold, drying out your airways. And a lot of people realize that they need a dose of bronchodilator before they start their exercise workout.
Right. Then more at the beginning, yeah, than sort of at the end.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
adapting to the dry air up in Gauteng.
Yes.
If you go out on a run on a cold winter's day, even as a fit person, non-asthmatic, those first few minutes as your body adapts,
yes,
can be quite uncomfortable. And then your blood circulation modifies, it adjusts, and your body starts moisturizing your lungs more.
Right. And that's sort of the body's natural remedy.
Yes.
If you're not having that sort of natural recovery, then it's time to sort of step in and seek medical,
yes,
advice.
Yes.
Even if you're a fit runner in summer.
Even if you're a fit runner in summer. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. How important, just to digress a little bit, we've mentioned environment. How important is environment? We've seen a big movement in the States and in Europe for sort of a cleaner household. Paints that don't have toxins, flooring, glue, all the construction material used in building the home. How big an effect can that be?
It can have a huge impact. Mm. And one of the most common issues is house dust mite.
Right.
And I'll sound like a vacuum cleaner salesman now. Have you ever seen a demonstration of a Kirby vacuum cleaner?
Yep.
What comes out of those mattresses,
yes,
can be nightmarish. And I mean, there's been a huge move away from carpeting, like wall-to-wall carpeting in homes, which has had a very positive impact on respiratory health.
Yes.
Animal dander, the house dust mites live there.
Right. How often should we be sort of vacuuming our mattresses and, you know, bedding and pillows and stuff?
I think if you are an allergy sufferer, at least once a quarter.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
That's better.
And you do get allergy preventative bed covering, like a mattress cover, which is protective and prevents,
okay,
your, skin flakes off everybody's bodies constantly, and that is what migrates down into the mattresses and
feeds,
acts as a food for the house dust mites.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So using mattress covers, mm-hmm, is very preventative,
right,
and those get washed with the normal household hygiene cycles.
Right.
Yeah.
And kept sort of fresh.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask as well on that, what is the correlation between the pharmacist like yourself and the doctor. How do you work with one another? How does the patient work with both of you? Where are they coming to you initially, do you find, and then you're referring them to the doctor, and then they're coming back? How does that work with for an asthma sufferer?
Occasionally they get referred by pharmacies. If we detect that somebody's buying that pump too often,
yes,
or if you see that they are distressed because of what's happening with their heart rate. But I think in most instances, they know they've got a problem. They end up being referred to a pulmonologist who does the measurements. Spirometry is what it's called. And then the diagnosis is properly made and treated.
Are we seeing a potential risk of addiction? Is it an addiction to the drug as, for example, with alcohol in terms of how it makes us feel? Or is it just that it's so uncomfortable not to be using the medication?
Asthma isn't a lifestyle condition. Mm. It's not a stimulant. There's no addiction like that.
Right.
No.
So there's no real risk of becoming addicted to your medication?
No.
Okay. So something.
And one thing that seems to be showing up in clinical results now is that after a number of years, it is a good plan to withdraw certain treatments to see if it is still required, because there can be a much longer term positive effect on asthma, and some patients are able to come off their medication.
Right. So we can outgrow our asthma effectively.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. We can grow into it and we can outgrow it.
Right. Fantastic. Yeah. Just as one of the other questions, in terms of what we were chatting about earlier, sport, where cortisone is used in recovery, do you see any of that coming through? Where there's sort of, how does one access the medication, the cortisone medication? Do you need scripts?
It is meant to be on prescription only.
Right.
However, we do get requests from members of the public coming in for cortisone in oral form, tablet form, without prescription. So it's something that we don't do at Dis-Chem and other corporate pharmacies, I'm sure. However, some of the private pharmacies do bend the rules a bit, and people do access those drugs.
Okay, yeah. And use them basically for enhanced performance in sport.
Yes.
Okay, which is obviously, and it's something that can end a career quite quickly if it's picked up, and there can be some long-term health issues with that. Let's chat about a bugbear, and how long we're going to go until ads, but let's just start on this. Vaping.
Yes.
How big an effect has this been on the respiratory health? So we are going to go to an ad, and we can chat about that as soon as we're back.
This is Medical Monday, brought to you with the compliments of Dis-Chem. Better health starts here.
And it's just gone 20 past 10, Monday morning. You're on 101.9 High FM. My name is Nicholas Ingle, and you're listening to the Dis-Chem Medical Monday. In studio, we have guest David Kahn, dispensary manager at Dis-Chem Linksfield. We're chatting all things asthma. Let us have your questions and comments on 34519 SMS, Telegram 0618951019, Twitter at High FM, email on air at High FM, or you can call into the studio on 01 01 40 30 20. David, just before we went to the ad break, we were chatting about vaping and how big an effect is this on asthma and respiratory health.
Vaping is and is going to have a huge impact, just as smoking did.
Right.
And the biggest concern is the amount of youth that are vaping currently. Schools do outlaw it. However, there's no control, and there's no discipline around it. So, vaping is going to be a huge contributor to asthma.
In your sense, and just in your experience, for the people starting incredibly young, 12, 13, 14, there seems to be a lot of pressure at school and teens to vape. I think much earlier than it was even with smoking. True. What do you sense the long-term effects are going to be? And also, there's not long-term data on this.
Yes. Yeah. So, there, There's no tar, as in physical smoking, combustive smoking. However, there are definite impacts on respiratory health. And unfortunately, it's going to take time to get to know what the long-term effects are. I don't think you've got the carcinogens that are in smoke.
Yes.
However, there are going to be other effects.
Right.
Those molecules are a lot finer, a lot more compact, so the absorption into the system is a lot more intense
than
from cigarette smoking.
And effectively, it's a nicotine dispensing device,
yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And there's addiction issues around that as
correct.
Well.
Yes.
Heart rate issues, and it's not something that someone reduces.
Correct.
Becomes
and it affects bone health. So, just like with smoking, when patients require orthopedic surgery, recovery times are a lot longer and more arduous. So there are definite health risks and challenges coming down the road for those people that are vaping.
Have you seen a sort of an increase in the need for asthma medication and treatment because of vaping in high school and in younger students?
I can't pinpoint that. Okay. As manager, I don't see those volumes. I don't see all the patients myself.
Right.
But childhood asthma is very common.
Yes. And compounded with the air quality that we deal with. I remember reading something many years ago where they said living in Johannesburg is equivalent to a 2-pack-a-day habit of smoking.
Yes.
So on that, what are the other environmental factors from nutrition to the home we touched on to smoking that can affect asthma?
It is air pollutants, seasonal allergens. We have a constant supply of pollens up on the high veld.
Yes.
In summertime, it's from trees and grasses, and in wintertime, it's from other grasses.
Okay.
So the mapping is out there on the weather maps. You can check your pollen counts. Some people are very sensitive to those. And desensitization programs are available.
Okay.
So, there are allergy centers where they can identify what your major antagonists are with regard to your asthma or allergies. And it's almost like a homeopathic treatment where they subcutaneously inject microdoses of those to desensitize your body to the allergies.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Fantastic.
So if you want to talk about natural alternative treatments to asthma and allergies, there aren't a lot of successful ones. Exercise is important. Singing is an incredible exercise for the lungs, and
not so much for my neighbors.
No, not so much for your neighbors. I just know of some examples of people who've late in life started singing, and it's had a huge impact, positive impact on their physical health.
Okay.
Yeah, those exercises, breathing to the solar plexus.
Yes.
That sort of focused breathing. Vitamin D is important. It doesn't mean that everybody needs to start consuming vitamin D. They need to know their levels.
Right.
Because vitamin D, if it's too high or too low, can be detrimental to one's health.
Okay.
But getting out there and exercising in the sun, besides the risks of sun damage at the right times of day, is incredibly healthy for body and soul.
Absolutely.
Unless,
of course, it's the up run and you're going through poly shorts.
Yes. In winter.
In winter, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. There aren't a lot of natural remedies for asthma that are successful. Eating quercetin rich foods, which is citrus and apples, seems to benefit asthma patients.
All right. Is there food that is bad? So I know with myself where my body's not a fan of gluten as much as I am.
Okay.
And when I'm eating it, then waking up the next day very blocked, very congested, and feeling very uncomfortable, almost like a hangover.
Yes.
Puffy eyes and bloating.
Yeah, it can be that. Yeah. It can be the the sulfur used as a preservative in particularly wine.
Okay.
Chinese food syndrome, eating too much MSG,
mm-hmm.
that can antagonize it.
Sure.
Yeah.
So I think that you touched on the point of knowing your levels. So that is something that is vital. Is there anything that you offer in pharmacy that people can come in for testing or stuff that's available?
No, there's no spirometry done in pharmacy. It's okay. only the physicians and the pulmonologists that do that. Yes.
Okay. But people can sort of listen to their bodies.
Absolutely.
You're eating a certain food, you're feeling a certain way. You're drinking something, you're feeling a certain way.
You'll know what's triggering your conditions. Right. You should get to know that. It's critically important.
Absolutely. Mm. And the getting outside and the being in the sun, how valuable is, do you have a sense of swimming, diving, that type of stuff, where you're needing to have breath control? Where you mentioned singing.
Singing, yes. Yeah. Well, swimming, yes. Underwater swimming,
yes.
Breath holding, that would obviously increase because when you come out of that, you're having an intense breathing reaction to that.
Yes.
So that is exercising it.
Right.
Getting to increase your distance capacity on breath hold is incredibly good for that sort of health as well. Yes, and it's a skill that can be learnt and developed.
Yes.
Yeah. No, nobody wants to get into free diving championships, but that...
So when sort of I had asthma as a child, and I fortunately outgrew it, and I think one of the contributing factors for myself was doing lengths of the Sea Point Pavilion underwater. And that's 25 meters with a push-off. So three breaths and then get out the CO2 and go.
Yes.
I think so. Breath holding is something that could help.
It is. Absolutely. Yeah. Okay. I myself am a diver. I can get up to doing 50 meters underwater.
Right.
In the pool app at Virgin Active. Yeah.
That's intense because there's you're turning around.
Yes.
And that's a lot of energy.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's very, very cool.
Yeah.
So that's something you would recommend, but obviously and have someone watching you.
Yes.
There's no risk of shallow water blackout then, or if there is, then it's okay. Yeah,
correct.
50 meters, that's not bad. So for what you're in shape, you're looking pretty fit.
Yes.
I mean, you look about 35, 37. And,
thank you.
So just how important, medication is one thing. But the lifestyle, I mean, in terms of quality of life, what can you tell us about that?
Lifestyle and diet can be critically important to that. And there can be an unknown cause to your allergy, and suddenly you need to start eliminating foods to test yourself.
Yes.
And there are protocols like that. It's a bit of an involved story, but my late grandmother, who lived to 101,
wow.
in her last 8 years was treated as an asthmatic. And in 1998, she suddenly had a downturn, and we thought that the end is coming, and we were okay with that. She was 98.
Right.
Within 3 days of her lying in bed, very much in an inactive state, trying to get a little bit of Ensure into her, we suddenly realized that she wasn't wheezing anymore, and we withdrew. She was on nebulizer. She was on asthma pumps. She was on cortisone, and because of all of that, she was on a drug to treat angina because all the heart stimulation caused that. And over a period of a few weeks, we withdrew all of those medications.
Right.
And she bounced back, and she lived for another 3 years in incredible health.
Right.
And the cause was her addiction to chocolate. And suddenly... I mean, we used to raid her cupboard for chocolates.
Yes.
Suddenly, she became allergic to chocolate, and that brought on asthma.
Right.
And nobody knew what the cause was until it was excluded from her diet.
Okay. And that can happen with specific food groups.
Absolutely.
That we develop an allergy to.
Yes.
And then that affects our quality. My late father, he was absolutely heartbroken because he developed an allergy to eggs, and he just his body couldn't deal with it.
Yes.
And it was his favorite thing. But so if we
I mean, just like penicillin. You could have penicillin 50 times in your life without issue, and the next time you have an anaphylactic reaction.
Yes.
You can become allergic to foodstuffs at any stage in your life.
What should people watch out for with that? I mean, how close is eating to the reaction? Was it varied on the foodstuffs?
I suppose it depends on how often you're exposed to it. If you have chronic exposure to a foodstuff, it would become a chronic condition.
Right.
Whereas if it's intermittent, if you're allergic to something that you only eat seasonally, you would get to realize that that's your trigger.
Yes. Would you suggest perhaps food diaries, people writing down what they eat and writing the next day how they feel?
It's very important if you are trying to determine that, yes.
Okay. And these are all the things that modern lifestyle detracts, takes so much of our attention.
Yes.
That we don't really have enough energy to apply attention to ourselves.
Yes.
But these things can be prevented before medication is needed or can help reduce medication.
Yes.
So these, any sort of other idea or advice that you could give for people to be aware or how to record how they're feeling?
Food diaries are important.
Massively.
Nothing else. Yeah.
It's so interesting. As a coach, I get to speak to people about their nutrition quite often.
Yes.
And always say to them, how's your eating? And they'll go, no, it's okay. And then I tell them to start sending me photographs of what they eat and when they eat. And you sort of, you see breakfast is a cup of low-fat yogurt and three grapes. And then there's nothing until 4 o'clock in the afternoon where it becomes a rusk and some coffee. And then dinner becomes a fast food takeaway because people are making their decisions hungry. And they everyone starts off with a fantastic, what they think is a healthy breakfast.
Yes.
In terms of, you know, sort of low fat and high fiber, whatever, and then end up binging in the evenings. And when they start to write that down and record it, they become
They realize
the truth. Absolutely. It's the same with water. How important is water intake, do you think, in terms of managing asthma or general health?
Hydration is critical to every aspect of health.
Yeah.
Yes.
What is a good amount for people? Do you base
that varies
the
on the person. It depends on the person, the environment, the activity level. I mean, if you lose about 800 ml of water through respiration in your sleep.
Right.
So first thing in the morning should be a glass of water or two.
That's at 500 mils to a liter before getting out of bed.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's such a neglected thing. And one of the questions I also get on that all the time is, does coffee count or does tea count as water? And those things are actually diuretics.
Yes. They are diuretics, but I mean, it is 70%, 80% water. It's a debatable one.
Weigh yourself before and after.
Artificial sweeteners, they antagonize a lot of health conditions.
Okay.
So we get sugar tax, and then we aren't allowed to have artificial sweeteners because they're poison. So.
How about honey?
Yeah. Honey is awesome.
Yeah, absolutely.
I believe. And that's one of the other unproven recommendations, is that eating local honey is almost like a homeopathic treatment of allergies because it's sourcing pollens from your environment.
Yes, absolutely. I was just going to touch on that. Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah.
So, and local is the crucial thing.
Yes. Yeah.
And making sure you guys stock good honey.
We stock some awesome honey.
You do, so they're 100%.
Yes.
So I think that's a great thing that people can go and check, particularly also for kids, for younger kids, for older people.
Yeah.
You know, a tablespoon or two of honey a day is not always a bad thing.
Yeah, I go for organic and non-irradiated honey myself. I try to keep it as pure and natural as possible.
Yeah.
I go through a lot of honey.
Okay, right, there we go.
Yeah.
And that's, as a matter of fact, that's what I used to call my ex-girlfriend. So that was terrible. What are the other things that we could eat to benefit ourselves in terms of asthma and our general health?
As I said, the quercetin rich foods, which is your apples and citrus, are about the best for that. Omega-3, salmon oil.
Right.
Eating salmon. Low mercury salmon.
Yes.
Which is Now that's a debate and a whole issue on its own. Right. So supplementing with a high-grade omega-3 oil is incredibly beneficial to asthma, allergy, and brain function.
Yes.
A lot of, well, and it's anti-inflammatory for the body as well.
Right.
So that'll probably...
And your coconut oils?
Coconut oils are good for you as well. Okay. Yeah. It's very good for dental hygiene as well.
Great for brushing your teeth.
Yes.
And hair, and as a face wash.
Yes. Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, David, this doesn't just happen. So, if we've spoken sort of, we've touched on the food, we've touched on the hydration. Just to go back to hydration, how can people manage their hydration levels? How do they know what's appropriate for them? If we look at, if your pee is very dark, okay, if you're thirsty, or if your pee is very clear, what would you do?
And you need to be drinking enough to keep it clear.
Okay.
And if you're taking a high vitamin B dose, a high dose vitamin B supplement, your pee is going to be a brighter yellow than normal. Consuming that water and keeping the kidneys flushing without having to run to the loo every 20 minutes.
Yes.
Obviously, some people do become addicted to water.
And
overhydrate, and that also can obviously cause health issues.
Yes.
So balance.
So is balance and record a log. I mean, I don't think people have thought about writing them down.
I don't think we need to be that pedantic in life that we need to log our water consumption.
Okay. It's an interesting thing. Just before we go to our read now, we've coming up to an ad with water loading for sport and getting athletes to drop weight for weight categories. It's a lot of fun.
Okay.
But we'll touch on that when we come back.
Okay.
Dis-Chem Wellness Clinics for Adults offer convenient and professional care to help you manage health risks. Whether you have your regular wellness checks, such as blood pressure or cholesterol, Dis-Chem Wellness Clinics offer you a broad range of health screening services, including female health screening with pap smears, family planning, and pregnancy screening. Fast, affordable, and with care. Find your nearest Dis-Chem Wellness Clinic inside. Dis-Chem Pharmacies. Better health starts here.
This is Medical Monday, brought to you with the compliments of Dis-Chem. Better health starts here.
It's Monday morning and it's just gone 22:11. You're listening to the Dis-Chem Medical Monday live on 101.9 High FM. My name is Nicholas Ingle and we are joined in studio with our guest, David Kahn, Dispensary Manager at Dis-Chem Linksfield. Let us have your thoughts and questions and comments. We're discussing asthma. You can get us on SMS 34519, Telegram 061-895-1019, Twitter at High FM, email onair@highfm.com, and you can call into the studio on the number has gone. So 087-055-1818. Fantastic. We do have a comment from Carol. What are our thoughts on sparkling water? David?
Sparkling water is a personal preference. No harm, no good can come out of it.
Okay, fair enough. Okay. Yeah. Let's touch on some of the medication, some of the other meds that are used to treat asthma.
What we hadn't spoken about is the addition to your various bronchodilators and cortisones would be your montelukast, which is an oral form, dosage form drug, which prevents what they call the leukotrienes from being released, which are other allergy modulators. So you have your histamines and other antibodies in the body that aggravate and bring on the asthma.
Right.
So that's quite commonly prescribed long-term therapy and also for treating coughs, people that are recovering from bronchitis, that residual inflammation, the constant coughing for a few weeks, they can be put onto that therapy as well.
Okay.
And then finally, occasionally people are put onto oral cortisone, which should be short term. If the asthma is really difficult to control, patients will be put onto a low chronic dose of that, but there are long term health issues around that, and right. It is best prevented at, avoided at all costs.
Okay.
Yeah. Critical to any inhaled steroid is to use it before food, or at least to wash the mouth out with water immediately after consuming it. Otherwise, you can stimulate thrush at the back of the throat, and that applies to cortisone nasal sprays as well.
What are some of the other side effects of asthma medications?
The most common is the cardiac effects. If right. the stimulant doses are going too high, then you would get reactions to that.
What would that feel like to the patient?
People would feel anxious. They would know that they would be jittery. Their heart is racing, so they would sense the tachycardia.
Okay.
And it's not comfortable. It's very unpleasant, and they need to get that under control.
How long does that last?
It can become permanent.
Okay.
While they're taking the drugs. So
right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that can be managed with dosage or types of medication?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Are there any other types of medication that's used to deal with asthma, to treat asthma? Anything that we haven't touched on?
Your antihistamines, and that's getting to allergies. Consuming antihistamines on a regular basis can have a positive impact on asthma as well.
Okay.
And then you've got a whole lot of classes of antihistamine. Your older generation ones, which are very sedative in side effects, so they aren't used a lot. That would be your Phenagan, commonly currently today. We still have Allergex, which is relatively sedative. It depends on the dose interval and the quantity. Some people swallow two tablets at a time. That's heading very sedative.
Okay.
Atarax, which was available years ago, is making a comeback in syrup form, but that's used more for its sedative effects. So, not much for allergy.
Okay.
And then your newer generation, the focus has been on decreasing the sedative side effect, finding molecules that are more beneficial to the allergy without causing that sedation. And the next generation, which would be your rupatadine, trade name is Rupalurge or Rupinase, those have an anti-allergy and an anti-inflammatory effect. So there's a dual effect at the site of the allergy without the sedation.
Can some of the antihistamine medication, you said that they can assist in treating the asthma symptoms. Is there a risk that they mask the asthma symptoms and then you don't know you have asthma?
No, they would mask the triggers for acute attacks.
Okay.
So they would prevent that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there's no real risk to having asthma and taking this medication?
No, if you're taking your antihistamine, you are going to know that you're struggling to breathe.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then that's that would deal with it.
Yes.
If we look at asthma as a risk, how important is it that people become aware that they have it and that they are treating it? I think back to the late Professor Chris Barnard, where he passed lying at a swimming pool having an asthma attack and not having his inhaler and his medication with him.
Yes.
So there are quite serious potential risks with this.
People should get to know their condition.
Mm.
And, I mean, status asthmaticus is a life-threatening condition.
Right.
And people do die from that.
And I think this is another risk of smoking or vaping, where you're thinking you are struggling to breathe and having these problems because of the smoking and vaping, where it's actually you have asthma.
Yes.
Or another medical condition.
Yeah.
So that's it.
Correct.
Is there anything on with regards to asthma, the conditions, the allergies, that you'd like to touch on that we haven't yet?
No, I think we've covered pretty comprehensively there now. Yes.
I think we've done pretty well, absolutely. Yeah. Greg, do you want us to go to an ad break, or can we carry on a little bit? Okay, fantastic. One of the questions that I get asked quite often is, if you're in the gym and you're training and you start getting the shortness of breath, and you're not aware that you're an asthma sufferer, what should you do? What would the correct advice be? Because I know there are many coaches out there say, suck it up, buttercup, and keep pushing through. But in reality, what is the best approach to do?
I think
someone's
if
out on a run or...
If it's somebody who's come from a very inactive lifestyle, I would say suck it up for a bit.
Yes.
And get through those. It is your body adapting to the challenge of the exercise.
Yes.
And in building that fitness, it's like playing a musical instrument, a wind instrument. People can sit and play that. They can blow that thing for hours.
Yes.
But that takes years of practice, and it starts off with 5-minute intervals of blowing, because it's intense strain on your respiratory system.
You're right.
So just like that, exercise is the same thing. You're challenging your system. You're making it fitter. You need to go through that.
I want to touch on that when we're back from the ad break, because as a coach, I get excited when you say training. All right, let's go to ads.
This is Medical Monday, brought to you with the compliments of Dis-Chem. Better health starts here.
It's just before 10 to 11 Monday morning. You're listening to the Dis-Chem Medical Monday live on 101.9 High FM. My name is Nicholas Ingle, and we are joined in studio by our guest David Kahn, dispensary manager at Dis-Chem Linksfield. Just before we start to wrap up, we are chatting about asthma medication, lifestyle, and everything that we can do to manage and treat it. So let us have your comments, please, on 34519, or questions, obviously. Telegram 061-895-1019, Twitter at High FM, email onair at highfm.com, or you can call into the studio on 087-055-1818. David, can we touch a little bit more on some of the things that we can do to improve our breathing and respiratory capacity and fitness? We spoke about swimming, we spoke about singing, playing a musical instrument. If we could touch on that.
Breathing exercises are important, and there are plenty of programs you could find online. But the simplest is focused, what they say, deep breathing to the belly button, making your lungs open up completely. If you have very shallow breathing, you aren't really opening up all of the finer alveoli in your lungs, and that can lead to build-ups, and it's just a whole cleansing process that's not happening properly.
Right. I think with the shallower breathing, that's more of our anxiety breathing,
yes.
Right? So the anxiety can cause us to not be aware.
Correct.
And that deeper, fuller breathing is more relaxing.
And taking a deep, full breath is very relaxing.
Yes, absolutely.
One other thing, and it's more related to sinus allergies, but that does feed into the respiratory system, is that before applying your steroid nasal sprays and even your asthma treatments, nasal flushing using a saline rinse is critically important, because it prepares those surfaces prior to the medications being applied.
Okay.
So you get a much better effect of it if you are applying a nasal steroid, and you don't have all of that allergy aspiration going into your lungs, which can happen, which can cause other health issues.
Okay, so that would be more of the post-nasal drip down onto the chest.
Yes.
So we have another question from Carol. I've been on an inhaler. I hope I'm pronouncing this correctly. Seroflow.
Yes.
For post-nasal drip to keep my chest clear, what we were just discussing. For many years now, hope this is not doing me any harm, from Carol.
If it's Seroflow, that is the combination of bronchodilator and steroid. So I'm not too sure why you would be on that for an allergy-related issue unless you do have asthma.
Right.
But if it is asthma-related, long-term treatment is definitely warranted.
Okay. But that's something, if she's not comfortable, yes, she should get checked out,
yes,
with a medical professional. Yeah.
And she could contact me at the neighborhood if she wants to discuss it further.
So, Carol, you just walk in and you stand at the front of the shop and go, Dave! So please do get in touch with Dave at the store, Carol, if you'd like some more information on that. These small things like the flushing of the nasal passages, they can have a profound effect on our overall well-being and sort of sense of and health. Are there other things? We've got sufficient hydration, managing our nutrition, the flushing, the breathing exercises. Any other sort of recommendations you would have, you know, not holding your breath under the bath, but, you know, practicing breath holds and timing your breath holds.
You can do that without getting into a swimming pool.
Yes.
It's psychologically more difficult because you aren't underwater, so it's easier to take that sneak breath.
Yes, 100%. Yes. Trying it in the shower as well. You know, we get that water on the face and we trigger that mammalian response.
So for that.
Okay, fantastic. Yeah,
but a deep breath hold is just as beneficial.
Okay. So just like any other body part that we want to maintain and keep healthy and look after, we should be training and practicing and looking after our respiratory system.
100%.
Yeah. So, and I think how it is getting in sufficient oxygen is vitally important to every aspect of our life, right?
100%.
And particularly for students sitting all crunched over with the rounded shoulders and not up and erect, limiting their air intake.
Work posture, inactivity, physical, sitting, playing PlayStation.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's it.
So sedentary lifestyles are not healthy.
Definitely not healthy. So we encourage everyone to get out there, get in the sun, get during appropriate times, get walking, start practicing, and start being healthy and looking after your respiratory system. David, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. Thank you so much for coming.
It's been great being here as usual. It's been a while, but happy to be back.
Fantastic. You've been listening to the Dis-Chem Medical Monday live on 101.9 High FM. Craig, thank you. Hey, dude, it's awesome to be working with you as well. Thank you, team. Have an awesome Monday morning.